Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. One more hour to go. And I will be taking phone calls after the show off the air. So I'll continue to take phone calls. So if you're still around or I haven't answered your question yet, after the show, I start it again. And no commercials or anything. So we go through it very, very quickly. 800-520-1534. 800-520-1534. And yes, top of the hour. And yes, even though we have lines that are busy, we do have a couple that are open. 800-520-1534. This is Handel on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I, Bill Handel, tell you, whatever your name is, you have absolutely no case. Well, here's a case that every major city in the country has to deal with. A problem, actually, that every major city. And that is child predators. All right, convicted child rapists. So let me throw an example at you. And there's one in particular. Well, actually, let me tell you about him. And we don't have his name. But it has to do with a child rapist who has done the sentence, is now on parole. And part of that is you have to report to a judge and you have to ask permission where to live. So here comes Los Angeles, which has more than its share of child predators. And now the question is, where do they live? And nobody wants a child predator in the neighborhood. I mean, nobody. And keep in mind, you can't stick them out in the desert 200 miles away because they'll never get a job. There's no such thing as rehabilitation. So they're just camped out in the desert and we get to pay the bill. And that's not what our prison system is about. Do child predators have the right, after they've paid their debt to society, do they have the right to now start a life? And for many people, you'd say, sure, just not around me. Well, if you have enough not around me, that means there's no place to go. And so herein is the town of Lancaster, California. It's about 50 miles north of Los Angeles. And that seems to be where everybody parks their child predators. L.A. County, Orange County, San Bernardino County, Ventura County, they all go up to Lancaster. It's very sparse. You get a lot of land for relatively little money. Sagebrush is very cheap. There isn't a lot of water. Actually, there is. Let's just say it's out in the boondocks. It's for forfin land, as they would say in Yiddish. And so there is this guy who the judge is going to place where? In Lancaster, Orange County judge. And the folks in Lancaster are saying, you know, we've had enough of these guys. We've had enough predators. I'm going to give you a quote that was brought up in court in a hearing deciding where this guy is going to end up living. We don't want him here. We have enough sexual predators, creeps and tweakers and junkies running around here. They put him on a train at Union Station downtown and shipped him out here to Lancaster. It's the new beginning. Lancaster is turning into Crapola, USA. That was part of the testimony. And that is a problem. It is completely crazy. Now, L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger, of which Lancaster is in, said, given the diverse, this is an Orange County case, and she's arguing, keep them in Orange County. Given the size and diversity of Orange County, I find it hard to believe that a suitable location can't be found there. Well, guess what, Supervisor? It can't be found there. Orange County is not sparsely populated and is effectively bumper-to-bumper housing across the county. So at this point, we have no idea where this guy is going to go. The judge is looking at it, has taken the case under submission, and plans to have a decision within the next few weeks. And no matter where he places this guy, people are going to scream. But it's true. Lancaster is basically predator central. This is where they park them. And, you know, people there are getting a little upset. By the way, there's no answer to this. I mean, literally, where do you put them? They have to go someplace. I mean, people have talked about abandoned military bases out in the middle of nowhere with fencing around it with concertina wire, razor wire on top. Yeah. Where else do you go? All right. It's time for a phone call or two. And here is, here's one that I wanted to get to. Hi, Roger. Welcome.
Hey, Bill. Hey, I looked on Credit Karma. Somebody took out a HUD Title I loan on my house on October the 15th.
Wow.
And it was turned over to collections on January the 15th. My credit score has gone down 150 points. I don't know what to do about it.
Well, first of all, someone taking out a title loan is illegal. I mean, it's a crime. It's a straight crime that happened. And there's identity theft. There is all kinds of fraud. I'm assuming you don't have one of those identity theft protection plans that are out there, right?
No.
Yeah, well, it's a good idea to do those, but that's a little bit closing the barn door. And so the best way to at least get hold of the bad guys is to go to the police. And hopefully they open up a case and go after who these people are, because that's a huge problem. Then the issue is contacting the collection agency and say, I have been defrauded. This is what has happened. This is not my signature. And by the way, the only way that any property can be transferred is for you to sign it and have it notarized. And since you obviously didn't do that, Roger, someone forged your signature in cahoots with a notary public. And I mean, there's crime up and down this thing. So the first thing is you go to the cops. And what do we do about it? And the people who specialize in this will probably give you the avenues to go to. But you've got a mess on your hands. You really do. Can it be unraveled? Probably. Is it going to take a long time? Probably. Are you going to suffer through this? Probably. Can you stop the sale of a house? Because what they do is it goes into collections. You don't pay whatever the loan amount is that you didn't take out. So you go into collections, and then they're going at some point grab the house, foreclose on it, and then you're going to be fighting that like crazy. So you have to let the collection agency know immediately you've been defrauded, but also you have to go to the police for sure. Alfredo. Hello, Alfredo. Welcome.
Hello.
Yep. You know what, Alfredo, let me do this. Let me stick you on hold a minute because I want to give you enough time for me to hang up on you when we come back. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640.
And good morning, Bill Handel here. Yeah, it is a Saturday morning, and back we go to Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice. Alfredo, welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Hi, morning, Bill. Yes, I have a labor commission case, and it has been 3 years since my last arrangement. I have flooded the person in charge of the case with emails, phone calls, messages. I have gone to the San Diego office and just requested what's going on with my case, and I'm wondering what could I do?
Yeah. That's a mess, and you're not alone. So what's the case about?
With my ex-employer?
Yeah, the case that you filed.
Yes, and like I said, we've been through an arrangement.
What does that mean?
The judge said, I had a case hearing, actually.
And?
and have been 3 years. And
I understand. But what's the arrangement, Alfredo? You said we have an arrangement. What is it?
Oh, actually, it was just to have the employer and myself together. There was a judge there.
Okay, how much? Wait, there was a judgment against the employer for you, correct? How much are you supposed to get, Alfredo?
At least like $5,000.
What do you mean, at least like? There's a specific amount, Alfredo.
Well, it's my wages plus interest, hourly. So.
Okay, and they haven't, and the judge ordered that to be paid 3 years ago, correct?
It ordered the employer to show proofs. And has been 3 years and haven't heard.
Show proof of what, Alfredo? Show proof of what?
Of my salary.
Okay, so you presented all of your information, and then the commissioner says, now it's up to you, and the other side did nothing. And, oh, by the way, there's going to be, when this time finishes out, you're going to get all of your money, and it's going to be really interesting. Have you gotten any money yet, or are you just sitting on it?
Nothing, but like I say, the thing is that the person in charge of my case has not even sent me a letter.
Have you gotten any? You know, Alfredo, you're not making this easy for me. I ask a question and you immediately deflect and go into a different direction. Are you getting any money?
No.
Okay. So and it was something that you lost your job or the labor that the employer did something obviously very wrong. And what did the employer do? That you complained.
They kind of like fire me.
Oh, kind of. Not exactly, but kind of fired you. And why did they fire you, Alfredo?
people started saying rumors and they blame me. So they like kind of like let me go.
Okay, well, I don't even understand why you're in front of a commissioner. Because you can get fired in California for any reason. That's the law, Alfredo. They can wake up in the morning and go, you know, Alfredo, I'd rather call you Fred. And you haven't used the word Fred for a while, so I'm going to fire you. That's the law. You can do that. Now, unless you're arguing, obviously, based on, I think, your accent and your name, I'm assuming you're Latino, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if the argument is that you have been discriminated on the basis of race, that's a different story. So for 3 years, they have not done anything. All you can do is go up the food chain and literally go to... the commissioner, everybody up further, just get hold of someone, send out emails. By the way, don't do this by phone anymore. You do everything by email, and you have a record of it. All right?
Perfect. Thanks.
All right. Boy, that was a one-minute question. It was that simple. It just happens all the time. I get 9 minutes of stuff that's irrelevant. Drives me completely crazy. Oh, there's a good one. Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Hey, a candy company has stolen my intellectual property.
Wow. What is it they stole?
Okay, so about 20 years ago, I'm eating some M&Ms, and I decide that the greatest confection would be to put the peanut and the plain M&Ms in one bag. Mix them all up. It's
okay.
Delicious.
Put peanut and plain in the same bag. All right.
That's correct.
Yes.
So on the back of the bag, it says, if you have suggestions, call the M&M Mars people.
Okay.
So I call them, and I get a representative of the company, and I pitch this incredible idea. And the woman says, I'm sorry, we can never do that because some people have peanut allergies.
Okay.
Which I say to her, hey, those people are not going to buy this delicious
product.
Okay,
hang on. We're going to go through those 15 minutes with the questions. Are you arguing that your intellectual property was the idea to put chocolate M&Ms and peanut M&Ms in the same bag? That was your idea.
That is correct.
Okay,
is
and
correct.
They ended up and they ended up doing it, right?
That's why I'm calling. I tripped out of TV the other day, and boom, they're doing it now.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I have to tell you, I mean, frankly, I don't know why you didn't patent the idea of putting two different kinds of M&Ms in one bag.
I should have.
Oh, well, it wouldn't have worked. You know why?
No.
Because putting two M&Ms in one bag is not particularly intellectual property. Okay, how about this? Here's a better idea, okay, which you should have actually trademarked. And that is, instead of a 12-ounce bag, They use a 16-ounce bag, and you tell them, do I have an idea? And they do it. Hey, you stole my idea.
Well, that's sort of what happened.
Yeah, it sort of did. Yeah, Kurt, yeah. How many? Let me ask you something. How many times did you actually buy the Brooklyn Bridge?
Hey, you're making fun of me.
Absolutely I'm making fun of you.
This is a fantastic idea, and these people have stolen it from me.
You know
All
what?
These people are going to enjoy
yeah.
it.
So you know what? Okay, here you go. You're going to get a trademark. I'm going to suggest you Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to suggest you get a trademark and patent attorney out there to file your claim. Do not go to handleonthelaw.com. I want to keep these guys on the website. But you find yourself a patent trademark attorney. Copyright, trademark, that's what they do. And I swear the guy's going to go, oh, my God, that's brilliant. Peanut and regular M&Ms in one bag. You have to admit, that was a pretty good question. You know, it could be worse. It really could. Now, there are reports of fake job listings out there, and this is fairly new, designed to get your driver's license information, social security numbers, just a different way of getting your info. And that is a new way, or a fairly new way, that the cyber criminals are going at it. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting all of our lives. Every day, we put our information for risk on the internet in a lot of different ways. I mean, there is a huge range of identity threats. This is where LifeLock comes in. And LifeLock, first of all, if you're a customer like I am, as soon as your information has been potentially compromised, for example, a credit card application goes in, a lease for something goes in, they instantly let you know. And if there is potential fraud being involved, they let you know immediately and you deal with it right now. And if the information has been compromised itself, what they'll do is have someone help you and deal with it. That's what LifeLock is all about. Now, no one can prevent all ID theft or monitor every transaction in every business, but LifeLock can certainly help protect what's yours. That's LifeLock by Norton. Join, save up to 25% off your first year using the promo code HANDLE. Call 800-LIFELOCK, promo code HANDLE, or use or head to LifeLock.com, promo code HANDLE. This is Handle on the Law. KFI AM 640. Excuse me, Handle here. And back we go. More Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice. Hey, Christine. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, sir. Or ma'am.
My friend was at brunch a few weeks ago. It was outdoor dining tables. And the table next to her came in and they had a dog. Originally, they had left the dog outside of the dining area, but someone who worked at the restaurant said, oh, no, come on in, bring your dog. And so they did, and the dog was fine. She pet it. Couple hours go by. She's had some drinks at brunch. The dog fell asleep. When she went to leave, she went to give the dog a kiss and startled it, woke it up, and it bit her face.
Ooh.
She had to have, medical attention.
Yeah. Stitches?
So, yeah.
Okay, so her face is, so she's...
So her question is more so for the restaurant's liability.
Yeah, no, I get that. First of all...
Welcome to the
No, I understand that. Because the only issue is the restaurant's liability is allow a dog into a restaurant that's not a service dog. And
correct.
So that was a violation. Now, are there any intervening acts? One of the things about personal injury is you've got duty, breach, causation, and damages. Did the restaurant have the duty? Yes. Did they breach that duty? Yeah, you can argue that by letting the dog into the restaurant. Causation. Now, is there any connection between letting the dog into the restaurant or your friend kissing the dog and biting him or biting her back? There's something called intervening acts, which means if you have enough of an intervening act, that cuts off liability. I mean, here you are, let's say, and you're talking to someone, and all of a sudden someone comes in and shoots you. Oh, it's because I was talking to you. Well, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could have been there because you asked me to. So there is an intervening act in her case, I think. And then, of course, the damages if, you know, if her face been really mangled and she's looking at a lifetime disfigurement and needs plastic surgery. Those are huge damages. But
it wasn't that big.
OK, well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, but I want to share a phrase that his it goes back millennia, and that is don't or let a sleeping dog lie and don't kiss it.
Yeah, she knows that.
Oh, I'm glad she knows that now. What, kissing a strange dog while it's asleep? Well, boy, that's not a problem.
Her mind knows that. Drunk mind doesn't.
Yeah. So, okay, I understand that. So the answer is, even if there were substantial damages on her face, probably it's not going to go anyplace. And if there aren't substantial, if she is not disfigured and her face does not look like a pepperoni pizza because she wasn't disfigured enough, I don't think you're going to get a lawyer to deal with it. And I got to tell you, if I were your friend, I would be too humiliated to even bring that up.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah.
All right, but a good story. A good story. Kissing a sleeping dog in a restaurant. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Why not? Miranda. Hi, Miranda. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
I am being accused by my previous employer of credit card fraud.
Mm.
In December, I purchased gift cards for our staff for the department of over $3,000. Using the credit card provided by me willingly by a senior partner through my Amazon account.
Okay.
I now have been contacted by Amazon stating that the credit card user is stating it's an unauthorized charge. The monies went back to the senior partner's credit card, and now I'm being asked by Amazon to pay the amount.
Yeah, here's the
question.
Yeah, no, I understand. I got your question already. Are you liable for it?
Okay.
And the question and the answer is probably, unless you can prove that was an authorized use. And if it's just between the two of you, then you've got an issue. Because he's saying it wasn't authorized. You got my number. Well, the question is, how did I get your number? Had you done it before and purchased on behalf of the company? Has your Amazon card been used for purposes of helping the company before that?
Yes. Okay. For another senior partner. And I did send an email to other partners stating this is the average breakdown of allocated contribution. Please send this amount to the senior partner who paid everything on his credit card.
Okay, so, all right. So, you know, you may have some arguments. I mean, on its face, it doesn't look like you have much because he says, you took my number or you put it on your own card and I didn't say anything about it, but were the gift cards then handed to the staff?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think you got a point. Why would you buy gift cards? Why would you do that? Buy gift cards and share it among the staff. So I think now Amazon may end up suing you. And your defense is, why would I do that? Of course I had permission, and we've done it before, and it was always authorized. So that's your defense. Although you're dealing with Amazon, but we'll see if they do anything. You know, they may write it off. I don't know how far they're going to go for $3,000. But I will tell you, you're not going to have an Amazon account after this. Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Bill. Hey, good morning. Hey, yeah. Listen, I have a property about close to $800,000, $900,000. And I have only one daughter. And I do not want to get this transfer when I die. What do I do?
Mm. That's an easy one. You have a couple of choices. One, you can transfer the property into a trust, and then the trust now has that asset, and you pick a trustee, not your daughter, who then distributes the house to your friend, just distributes it pursuant to the terms of the trust. That's probably the easiest way of doing it. That would work. I'm talking about a tax issue. That's not a problem. The other way of doing it is just simply leaving your daughter out of the will, or writing a will that specifically excludes your daughter. Now, the language has to be fairly specific, as in, I am disinheriting my daughter. I do not want her to have this property at all. I don't like her. I got a second opinion. And the other lawyer said she's ugly, too. So there's a bunch of reasons I'm not leaving the house to her. Because here's why it's so important to specify that she is not getting the property. If her name is not mentioned, you just leave it to a friend. She has an argument saying that you just forgot to mention my name because naturally the property would come to me. Because that's simply the way of the world. I would normally be getting the property. You left it out, my name. It was an accident. You left it out. And there starts the will contest. And it's you're talking about $800,000. I would write a will. It's probably the easiest way of doing it, or a trust. But I'd go to an attorney to do it. There's enough money here that you want to preclude her from ever contesting it. She might contest it anyway. Because here's what family members do is they contest it. They get these sleazeball lawyers. And they contest it just to get a settlement that it's not worth to litigate. Okay, I'll pay you the $50,000. Leave me alone. You can.
Sorry, Bill. One question. So, how about if I just sell this property to this friend? Will my daughter be able to claim?
No, absolutely not. But here's the problem: you sell the property, and depending on the equity and what you paid for it, anything over $500,000 is not a taxable situation. So I think you're okay on that one. But what it does is it reassesses the property. You're in California, right?
Right. So it reassesses
the property. So let's say your tax base is the property is at $400,000 because you had it for a while. Well, you sell it for $800,000, boom. You're now assessed at $800,000. The taxes have just doubled on that property.
But if I just gift it to him, will that be?
No. You just don't gift property away. Do it right. Talk to a trusted estate lawyer, and they'll tell you how to do it and write up. It's a very simple document. It's not going to cost you $1 zillion. It may cost you $1,000, $1,500. Have your friend pay for it. He's getting the house.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And if he doesn't pay for it, you go, then why would I leave you the house, schmuck? Isn't the $1,500 investment worth it to get the house? And if not, he's too stupid.
Right. I can just write that I'm abandoning, I'm disinheriting her.
Yeah, no, you'll see. There's exact language. No, you don't want to do it yourself. Get an attorney to write the language, okay?
Got it.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Yeah. I love people do that. I've got $1 million or $2 million estate. Can I do this myself? Sure, why not? How'd your last surgery go when you did it yourself? Worked out okay? This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
KFI AM 640. As we near the end of the show, I will still stay on taking phone calls off the air for probably an hour, and I'm going to get through all the phone calls that are up on the board. So when I lock out, stay put. You can listen to the show, or you can certainly listen to Leo Laporte until I grab your phone call. And I go through them very quickly because we don't take breaks. I just go right through. So if you're on the phone, stay put. And if you want to call in, even the lines are busy because they'll be clear in 5 minutes. So after that, I'll be able to grab you. Then just call in right afterwards. And so I will get to everybody that I possibly... Well, I will get to everybody. All right. Back we go. More Handle on the Law. Sarah! Hi, Sarah. Hello, Sarah. Are you there, Sarah? Sarah! All right, we'll put Sarah on hold. And I think what ends up happening, people tend to listen to the radio, and we have a delay. And even though they're told, turn your radio off, and the delay, I think, what is the delay, a minute or something? Where, I don't know, 30 seconds. And so they're listening to 30 seconds, different timeline. Just want to explain that to you. Inside baseball. Nothing more. Patty. Hi, Patty. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. Okay, so I'm going to try and make this quick. My mom passed away February of last year. Her house sold in April. I contacted the insurance company, homeowners insurance company, told them that the house was sold. Then I get a bill about a month ago for it, and I called them, and I'm like, the house sold in April. So they prorated it back and sent me a check for $786. Yeah. I know it's not like a huge amount of money.
Right.
But they sent it in my mom's name. Now, I have, my brother and I both have, we're trustees over her accounts. We were able
okay,
to go
and so, in. And so if you deposit the check, you have a check writing privileges to that account, correct?
But the thing is that I already got rid of that account.
So where, okay, so you have any, forgot. do you have any account with your mom's name on it?
Not anymore.
Okay, well, that gets kind of interesting. So here's what you get to do. Well, first of all, if you cash it, no one's going to argue, Patty. No one cares for $780. And no one's going to come back and say, I owe the money. The trick's going to be just cashing it. And it's... Now, the bank doesn't know that she's dead, right? And I know... Well,
no,
you know what?
No.
Yeah, okay. Okay, here's the rule is you can't do much about it, okay? Because your mom is gone. What a lot of people would do, and I'm not saying to do this, not at all, because I would never do this, because I my honesty is beyond reproach, is they just sign their mom's name and just deposit it, and someone signs their name, and it just goes into anybody's account. And who's going to argue for $780? But I am not telling you to do that. Not in...
I have had people say, just sign her name. And I'm like, oh...
Yeah, and you know, no, you can't.
Really
you
strange.
Can't. No, it's illegal, okay? You can't. But on the other hand, exactly. What do you think? They're going to call the forgery police for $780 on a woman who's dead that the money is, if it's not paid, it just goes back to the HOA? Well, an estate can be... No, here's what happens. If an estate is opened on your mother, her assets... Mm-hmm. Then that money goes into the estate and then it's distributed. But, you know, is there a will that she has?
Oh, yeah. The trust itself has already been taken care of.
So that's all gone. So it's all gone. Everything's been distributed.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So there's really no place. So you got to check in your mom's name. And, oh, what do you do with that? Well, you know what? I just spent the last 5 minutes telling you what not to do. Now it's up to you. But it's not hard to figure out what other people would do, right? Yeah. Violet, hello.
Yes, hi. Hi, Bill. I live in a two-floor apartment, old building, and fake wood floors. My neighbor has had problems, Bill, with the lady downstairs, Terry. She's always grabbing something very heavy and going boom, boom, boom. Claiming that wherever he walks, he's on top of her. If she goes to the bathroom,
okay, I got it. So it's he's hearing things. Okay.
Witchcraft. She said that he's sending vibes and sending fleas, and she called me up yelling, and she kept using the words diabolical.
Wow, that's terrific. Yeah. Okay.
And now he complained once about the lady, but now she's to the manager who did nothing. And he has put little rugs. The man is an angel. Doesn't even own a TV.
Okay.
Doesn't own a radio. What? How do I handle this?
Well, first of all, you don't handle it. This is your neighbor's.
Yeah.
Now you can ask.
That's what he told me.
Right. That's for one thing. I mean, you're just you sort of had nothing to do with this. One of the things is, why don't you just ask him to put a spell on this woman? Wouldn't that work?
Well, that's what I thought, because witchcraft enters into this.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, no, big time. There's a lot of case law on this. You have no idea how many cases regarding witchcraft, spells, voodoo dolls, noise. I mean, there's a whole world to this. All she can do is contact management over and over again. Contact the police. Literally put in a complaint to the police and saying this guy is stomping and he's making my life unbearable and he's violating noise ordinances. And that's all you can do is keep on going and going and going. I mean, I had that situation happen and it's a mess. It took us a long time to unravel that. So he may want to call an attorney. How old is your friend?
Well, my angel neighbor, he's 80 something.
Okay, so she can. So there are plenty. Okay, I don't care how old the other one is. So what I would do, there are plenty of organizations that help elderly people, lawyers. So all he has to do is look at that and just call up and go, what do I do? And these are people that have had a lot of experience dealing with that. Charlene. Hello, Charlene.
Hello there.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the odds of me actually suing my vet for a misdiagnosis on a puppy?
Well, your odds are 100% for suing him if you decide to sue him. Tell me what happened.
Okay, so I have a puppy I adopted. He was about 7 months old.
Yeah.
Had a click in his hip. Took him in. The doctor examined him, had no neurodeficits, but he said I needed to see ortho. I went to see ortho. In the meantime, I was getting health insurance for him, dog insurance. So he started, after a month of waiting for the ortho appointment, started having some, like, limping and, like, some really crazy walking. Went to the neurologist. He diagnosed him just by feeling his back with a T3L3 myopathy, which paralyzes the dog. But you can't diagnose that except for eliminating everything else.
Okay.
Tumors,
right.
You know, spinal lesions.
Yeah.
And the only way you can diagnose it is on autopsy. So now the insurance is denying all my claims, and I can't change insurances because it's now a pre-existing condition.
Yeah.
I've had MRIs. Everything's negative.
Okay. Well, and so you are going to sue the vet for what? What did the vet do wrong?
Because by them giving him a diagnosis of myopathy without ruling out everything else.
Yeah.
Now they've actually diagnosed him with myelitis because steroids actually helped him. So now with the myopathy, they're saying that that's his diagnosis.
Yeah.
So now I can't. Let me ask you this.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So you can't get insurance. You sue him for, let's say you sue him for insurance. What would be the premiums you sue him for? For how long would those premiums go? Do you average the lifespan of the dog? I mean, it becomes virtually impossible to deal with that. The pre-existing condition versus not. I don't see where you're going to go with that. I really don't. All right. As we lock out of the show, let me remind you that I'm still taking phone calls. I'll do it off the air as soon as Leo Laporte starts his show. And I'll go through everybody who's already on the screen, who's already called in or on hold. And if you have a question, just call me anyway. And even if the lines are busy, just wait a few minutes because I'm zipping through these phone calls and we have no commercials. So either way, the number is 1-800-520-1534, 800-520-1534. I'll start this in just a moment and then continue on for an hour. So I'll get your questions answered. All of them. This is Handle on the Law.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.